Yesterday we're continuing on the 24 gurus. But actually the real highlight with our retreat here in Croatia is the evening kirtans, as usual, the holy name. Gets all the real attention, and that's the point. Somehow or another, try to get these people to chant. This morning we were talking that maybe some of my presentation is a little too intense for people who think that they're here on a retreat, on a holiday, and they're getting a 2-hour long Bhagavatam class, of course, tailored to non-devotees and newcomers, but still, it's quite a unique experience. It's like back to school in your holidays. So I try to modify that somewhat and be a little more entertaining, talk about my own experiences in relationship to the 24 gurus. And we'll just continue here today with water, which gives us the ability to taste. And it's because water is the facilitator of taste. It is an indispensable ingredient. And water has a very unique feature that we all learned about in school, is that water seeks its lowest level. And aside from that, we use water almost unconsciously as a cleaning agent. As soon as there's some dirt on something, as soon as there's a food stain anywhere, immediately you moisten a rag and you wash with water. We wash all of our clothing in water, because water is cleaning. It's a purifying liquid. And in addition to that, water makes a beautiful sound. It makes a beautiful sound in a, for instance, a waterfall when it's flowing, or even if it's just in a fountain as it goes up and falls down. It makes a very wonderful sound. So from all of these things, we can learn very important things. One is this concept of seeking the lowest level, is that one should always be humble, being meek and humble. Even though one is very pure and a very exalted, an indispensable substance, but nonetheless, still one is willing to be seek the lowest level, as water does. And of course the other is to be purifying. We interact with so many people, we have exchanges with many people. So how can these exchanges be such that we also pass on the purificatory effect of chanting Hare Krishna and practicing devotional service, whether we're meeting with strangers, whether it's our own family members, whether we're interacting with friends, and water is always purifying. No matter how it's contacting us, water always purifies. So similarly, how are we always purifying people when we come in contact with them? And certainly that we're not contaminating them, but rather we're actually benefiting. And making a beautiful sound. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says that the austerity of the tongue is to always speak in a very pleasing way. Make a beautiful sound. Make a nice sound when you speak. Whatever it is that we're saying, satyam, buryam, satyam, priyam, that what you say the truth, but say it pleasingly. However it is that you're expressing yourself, it should always make a nice sound, it should be pleasing, it should be digestible, and something that people are going to take on. Whether you're praising them or correcting them, it doesn't really matter. So this is the nature of water. And of course, you cannot stop water. Those who are in the building trade or any type of construction, whether it's road construction, house construction, etc., so you know that water is the most unstoppable element, even though it's indispensable, but nonetheless it can weaken your foundations, it can soak into your walls, it can undermine if you don't have a place for it to flow properly, it can wash away your roads. So water can do everything in the form of rain, in the form of floods, and so on. But water is always seeking its destination, and that destination, nothing stops. That destination is the ocean. So similarly, as Kunti Devi says, let my attraction flow to you like the rivers flow to the ocean. So we should also be unstoppable in our search towards the supreme goal. The next one, and the only other one we're going to do before we go out for our walk and simultaneous swim. Well, not simultaneous. Can't walk and swim at the same time. But we're going to walk, and when we get to the end of our walking destination, then we're going to swim. Beautiful, beautiful, clean waters. Fire. Fire gives shape to things. And fire is all purifying. Whatever you put into fire, it may be wood, it may be ghee, it may be, if the fire is hot enough, it may be steel or concrete, it will burn it. And yet at the same time, fire is never contaminated by that which it burns. So in the same way, we need to be fire. We come in contact with so many things in the world, and yet at the same time, our business is to actually burn everything that we come in contact with. We're able to connect with everything by burning in the fire of devotional service. We're engaging everything in Krishna's service without being contaminated by these things, without being touched by these things, like money. People very easily become corrupted by that money. A devotee takes that money, engages it in Krishna's service, it becomes a very valuable and indispensable asset, but devotees have to be very careful not to be contaminated by that. And especially that's the case for a guru. A guru may take the karma of the disciple. He has to burn up that karma. And even still, Srila Prabhupada says, even a transparent guru, he will have to digest some of the karma of the disciple. But if the guru is not pure, if the guru is motivated, if the disciple is not strict, then the guru will become contaminated by the sinful activities, and if you have many disciples, you can very easily fall down. So, in just the way that the flames of a fire are always flickering, they're always moving. Similarly, time is just like that. You never particularly know what shape the fire is going to take. It just is constantly shifting. Similarly, we never really know when time is going to manifest a birth, when time is going to manifest an old age, when it's going to manifest a death. The coming and going of living entities as determined by indefatigable time is just like the movement of the flames. So, austerity. From fire, we learn the principle of austerity, remaining uncontaminated, and by being able to consume or burn karma. We need to burn our own karma. what to speak of taking responsibility for other people's karma. And that's only possible by the fire of pure devotional service. And the last one is the moon. The moon goes through many phases. We have the waxing and the waning of the moon. We have a dark moon. We have a full moon. But actually, that's not really the case. The moon never waxes. The moon never wanes. Rather, it's our perception of the moon that is constantly changing. Similarly, a living entity appears to be taking birth and developing and growing old and dying, but actually nothing's really happening to the living entity. This is just our perception from the bodily conception of life. But actually we see that the soul is always eternal, it's always full, complete, and pure. Similarly, from the moon, we learn that all of these changes that we see within the material world in regards to the bodies of the 8,400,000 species of life, this is all illusion, because the souls in those bodies never really change, and they're actually unaffected by that change. What is affected is our perception, our mental and our sensual orientation to the world around us. But as Krishna describes in the end of the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita and in other places, the soul always remains pure and uncontaminated. And it's the mind of the living entity that is contaminated with this concept of constant change and bodily identification, or identification with that which does change, which is matter. So much to learn about these things, but in the same way as the 26 qualities of a human being are things that one needs to cultivate, similarly these thoughts, these meditations are things that one needs to actually cultivate and make into a sadhana. It isn't that all of a sudden hearing these, then there's going to be some kind of catalytic change in the way that we perceive the world. Is going to be a paradigm shift in how we see things. No, we need to cultivate that type of vision, cultivating this type of vision of scripture. And therefore, one advice would be, all right, for 1 week, let me just meditate on this lesson that I can learn from the guru, the moon, and try to really imbibe that and make that lesson so that it becomes spontaneous, that it becomes second nature. And ultimately, the purpose of all of these things is that these things become second nature, this type of vision becomes second nature to us, and therefore we always react to things and circumstances in the world in the way that we've learned from Shastra, from Bhagavatam, and from the 24 gurus. Hare Krishna.